We begin today in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to read the first five verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let's begin reading in verse 1. Paul said, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you, and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness." In verse 1, Paul said, concerning, that is, regarding the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. The ministering to the saints here refers to helping the poor saints at Jerusalem. Those Christians had been hard hit by drought, and Paul has been discussing helping and assisting those poor saints in chapter 8 and here in chapter 9. So Paul says that it's superfluous for me to write to you about that. There's no need. It is unnecessary because you've already decided to help those people. Now, of course, he goes into details about getting that gift to those poor saints in Jerusalem. He does write about that. He's devoting two chapters here to this gift to these poor saints. But what he's saying here is that it was unnecessary. There was no need for Paul to write to these Corinthians to convince them to give, because they had already decided that they were going to help. So Paul says, there's no need for me to write to you to try to get you to want to help in this regard. And he explains even more about this in verse 2. He said, because I know the forwardness of your mind. And the word forwardness, of course, means willingness. Paul is saying, I don't need to write to you to convince you to give and in order to build some kind of desire in you to help these people, because you already have that desire. You have already decided that you are going to help them. As a matter of fact, he says again in verse 2, you were ready a year ago. That's what he has already said back in chapter 8, verse 10, where he said, and herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward, that is willing, a year ago. So Paul mentions that again here in chapter 9, verse 2. And notice that he says in verse 2, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. And the word boast here means that he complimented them, he praised them, he commended them. And so, in a manner of speaking, like we would sometimes use the word today, he bragged on these Corinthians. He was talking to these Macedonians, at least on one occasion, if not more. And he told those Macedonians that the Corinthian Christians had already decided to help the poor saints in Jerusalem. And so in that sense, he says in the King James Version that he boasted about these Corinthians. And again, in a good sense, he bragged on them. So the interesting thing here is that in chapter 9, Paul says that he had talked to the Macedonians about the Corinthians. He had told the Macedonian Christians that the Corinthians were really ready and excited about giving to help those poor saints in Jerusalem. So when he was talking to the Macedonians, he complimented the Corinthians. When he was talking to the Macedonians, he bragged on the Corinthians. Now, what's interesting about that is that back in chapter 8, he's talking to the Corinthians and he's bragging to them about the Macedonians. He talks about how much they gave. He talks about how poor they were. And in spite of the fact that they were in deep poverty, they gave very generously and very liberally, even though they really didn't have it to give. So Paul made sure that he pointed out the good side and the good points of these many different congregations. And what we see here again is that Paul not only corrected the Corinthians when they needed correction, he complimented them when a compliment was due. So Paul didn't go out behind the backs of these Corinthians and just put them down and point out their mistakes. When they did something good, and when there was something to compliment about these people, Paul made sure to do that. And so that's why he says in verse 2 that he had boasted about these Corinthians to the Macedonians. And he mentions the word Achaia here because Achaia was the province where the city of Corinth was. And so by Achaia here, he means especially the Corinthians and other congregations as well, perhaps, that were in that province. Notice that he says in verse 2, that Achaia was ready a year ago. These Corinthians and others perhaps were ready a year ago. And he says, your zeal has provoked very many. Now, let's notice first of all the word provoke. The word provoke in the Bible is used in a bad way sometimes, and at other times it's used in a good way. For instance, in Galatians 5, verse 26, the Bible says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. We can provoke other people in a bad way. We can provoke other people to say and to do and to think things that they should not. But the word provoke is sometimes used in the Bible in a good way. For instance, in Hebrews 10, verse 24, the Bible says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, the word provoke is used in a good sense because he's talking about their zeal, the zeal of these Corinthian Christians provoking very many. Let's notice the word zeal here. The word zeal comes from a Greek word which means excitement of mind, ardor, fervor of spirit. So when we talk about zeal, we're talking about enthusiasm. We're talking about being excited. We're talking about being earnest. We're talking, as some people would say, about being on fire. And Christians ought to be excited. Christians ought to be earnest. Christians ought to be enthusiastic. And we have to realize that different personalities show that zeal or enthusiasm in different ways. Some are more outgoing and some are quieter than others. But it should be there on the inside of any child of God, regardless of how outwardly they express it or how they express that zeal in their words and by their actions. And so we ought to be excited as Christians. We ought to be zealous about worship. We ought to look forward to going to worship, and we should put our heart into worship, and we should benefit from and enjoy our worship before God, not dread it, and not have to drive ourselves and push ourselves to worship God. We ought to be zealous and excited about converting other people, whether we're talking about converting people in our community or helping mission works in this country and in other countries of the world. We ought to be zealous about that. We should not ever be bored in our Christian life about serving the Lord. We ought to be zealous about Bible study. We ought to be excited. We ought to look forward to studying the Bible, whether we're talking about studying the Bible in private, personally, or studying the Bible in the congregation in those organized, scheduled Bible studies. And here, the Bible shows that Christians ought to get excited about helping other people. That ought to be such a joy that we are zealous about that, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 2, when Paul said, your zeal has provoked very many, he's talking about their enthusiasm about helping the poor saints in Jerusalem. So when the Christians at Corinth heard that there were poor saints in Jerusalem that needed help, they got excited. They didn't turn a deaf ear. They weren't disinterested. They were concerned about that, and they really wanted to help. They were so willing that Paul says that they had been willing a year ago before he wrote this letter. And so they were zealous, they were enthusiastic, they were excited to be able to give to help other people, especially other Christian people. And Christians ought to be excited. We ought to be zealous when we have the opportunity and we see the need to help other people. So this passage shows that some Christians are zealous. And of course, there are some Christians who are not. They're like the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, where Jesus said that they were neither cold nor hot, but they were lukewarm. They were lukewarm as Christians because they had money, and they had confidence in their money. Their money had caused them to put more trust in their worldly assets than they had in God Almighty. And so that's why he says that their attitude was, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And because they had money to do whatever they wanted to do or to buy what they wanted, they didn't feel like that they needed the Lord that much, and they weren't very excited. They were not that enthused about serving the Lord. They were lukewarm, and Jesus said that he was going to spew them out of his mouth. And he also said in Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, that they needed to repent. So when you have Christians who are dead instead of alive, who are unconcerned and disinterested rather than being zealous, the Bible says that they need to repent. Now here in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 2, you notice that Paul says that the zeal of these Corinthian Christians had provoked, that is, they had influenced by their zeal, they had affected by their zeal very many. And this shows that zeal affects other people. Zeal, as many people have noticed, is contagious. An earnest, enthusiastic spirit tends to enthuse people around that person. Now, this is true at work. This is true in school. This is true in sports. And it is certainly true in the church. When you have Christians who are excited, who are really interested, that tends to affect other people around them. And, of course, on the other side, when you have people that are disinterested and bored as Christians and dead spiritually, that tends to rub off on other people. And notice that he says, your zeal has provoked very many. Not just a few, and not even just many, but very many. So other people heard about them. And Paul, of course, has already said that he told other Christians, especially those in Macedonia, about the zeal of these Corinthians. So this certainly included the Macedonians. Think of it. Paul held up the Macedonians as an example to these Corinthians. That was chapter 8, verses 1 through 7. Now, here he says, you are the very ones who caused them to be so willing to give. So Paul says in verses 3 through 5, don't let me down. You're the very ones that influenced them to give like they did. Now it's time for you to send your gift. You get your relief ready. The money, the food, whatever you're wanting to send. Because I don't want to get there and be embarrassed. And I don't want you to be embarrassed. That's what he's saying in verses 3 and 4. Because Paul had gone on record bragging about these Corinthians, telling the Macedonians that these Corinthians were ready a year ago and that they really wanted to help those saints in Jerusalem. Well, if Paul went to Corinth and he had some of these Macedonian brethren with him and the Corinthians weren't ready, that would be embarrassing to Paul. And as he points out in verse 4, it would also be embarrassing to you Corinthians. And so that's why Paul sent the three brothers that he talks about in chapter 8. He sent them ahead of time to the Corinthians to get that gift ready, to get that relief ready to send to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And in that way, the Corinthians would be seen to be generous people, not, as he says in verse 5, as covetous or stingy people.